Okay. First Canto, chapter 5, text number 10. Translation. Those words which do not describe the glories of the Lord, who alone can sanctify the atmosphere of the whole universe, are considered by saintly persons to be like unto a place of pilgrimage for crows. Since the all-perfect persons are inhabitants of the transcendental abode, they do not derive any pleasure there. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Crows and swans are not birds of the same feather because of their different mental attitudes. The fruitive workers or passionate men are compared to the crows, whereas the all-perfect saintly persons are compared to the swans. The crows take pleasure in a place where garbage is thrown out, just as the passionate fruitive workers take pleasure in wine and women and places for gross sense pleasure. The swans do not take pleasure in the places where crows are assembled for conferences and meetings. They are instead seen in the atmosphere of natural scenic beauty, where there are transparent reservoirs of water, nicely decorated with stems of lotus flowers in variegated colors of natural beauty. That is the difference between the two classes of birds. Nature has influenced different species of life with different mentalities, and it is not possible to bring them up to the same rank and file. Similarly, there are different kinds of literature for different kinds of men of different mentality. Mostly the market literatures which attract men of the crows categories are literatures containing refused remnants of sensuous topics. They are generally known as mundane talks in relation with the gross body and subtle mind. They are full of subject matter, described in decorative language, full of mundane similes and metaphorical arrangements. Yet with all that, they do not glorify the Lord. Such poetry and prose on any subject matter is considered decoration of a dead body. Spiritually, advanced men who are compared to swans do not take pleasure in such dead literatures, which are sources of pleasure for men who are spiritually dead. These literatures and the modes of passion and ignorance are distributed under different labels, but they can hardly help the spiritual urge of the human being, and thus the swan-like spiritually advanced men have nothing to do with them. Such spiritually advanced men are called also manasa, because they always keep up the standard of transcendental voluntary service to the Lord on the spiritual plane. This completely forbids fruitive activities for gross bodily sense gratification or subtle speculation of the material egotistic mind. Social literary men, scientists, mundane poets, theoretical philosophers, and politicians who are completely absorbed in the material advancement of society, of sense pleasure, are all dolls of the material energy. They take pleasure in the place where rejected subject matters are thrown. According to Swami Sridhar, this is the pleasure of the prostitute hunters. But literatures which describe the glories of the Lord are enjoyed by the Paramahansas who have grasped the essence of human activity. Om Agana Timirandasya Ganangana Shalakaya Chak Sura Militanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhisham Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Karamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sajjatam Sahagana Raguna Tanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Sabadutam Parijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamsta Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane
nirvishesha shunyavadi paschacchadesha tarane.
Namo Mahabhadanaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namini Gora Trishe Namaha. Hey Krishna, Karuna Sindhu, Dina Bandhu Jagapate, Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate, Tapta Kanchana Gaurange, Radhe Vrindavanishwari, Vishabhanu Sute Devi, Pranamami Hari Priya, Vanchakalpa Dhruvyascha, Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha, Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo, Namo Namaha. Yeah, do we have crows in Israel? Quack, quack, right? Yeah. That's a sign of an opulent country. Because they eat garbage. So when a country gets very, very poor, the crows leave. Because there's no garbage. People don't throw so much out. In the rich country, they throw out so much stuff, so the crows are very happy. So we find lots of them in modern countries. They find them everywhere. And the farmers say they're the smart birds or something, because they're very clever thieves, you know. So they say they're very intelligent. If they're stealing, making trouble. The crow is... No animal eats crow, a dead crow, except another crow. So nasty. But they're the prominent bird in most cities. That's what you hear, they're singing. So the common people are compared to crows, and the Paramahansa is a swan. Swans, you know, they live in very nice lakes, and they make it clean even, but they like lotus flowers, and, you know, they're very beautiful. When you see a swan, it makes you feel good, so they put swans in, you know, like parks and stuff. And they float around and they're very beautiful. Mm-hmm. Crows, nobody likes them. But, so the common people, they're after garbage. Prabhupada's comparing the books. This verse is very, very special. There's two verses. The next one also we can do tomorrow. Narada Muni Vyasadeva was not happy even after compiling all the Vedic literature and all the Mahabharata and all the Puranas and all the Itihasas, all the histories, and doing more austerity than anyone had ever done before, and producing literature no one ever did before. Previously, scripture was handed down by speaking, and the disciple could listen all day and remember the rest of his life, everything. But we can't remember one line of a sloka to repeat it, right? So that's Kali Yuga. So Vyasadeva could foresee that. He was living for a long time before Kali Yuga, and he could see that this was going to happen. So then he divided the Vedas. There was only one before, but he made four Vedas, and he divided, and he wrote down, and he wrote all these things so that in Kali Yuga they would be available, because at least some of the people can read, not everybody. But even when we read, we don't remember very much. But at least you can read again and again. But he was not satisfied, and he didn't understand why. So Narada Muni, his guru, came. And he told him, it's because you didn't glorify the Lord enough. You've cheated people. People want sense gratification, and you've given them, because the Vedas have all the, you know, the original Veda, the Artha Veda, the first Veda, Rig Veda. It's just all yajñas for enjoying the material world. You know, and the Vedas are full of all these yajñas and ways to enhance your stay in the material world and get a higher birth or go to heaven. And even though the Supreme Lord is mentioned and Bhakti is mentioned, it's not prominent, and most people will not notice it. So that's why he's instructing him to write the Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, and dedicate a book that's entirely for glorifying the Supreme Lord. So he's saying that these words, which do not describe the glories of the Lord, are
pilgrimage place for crows. So the world now is full of bookshops, full of crows looking for remnants, books about sense gratification. Some of them are a little sophisticated, you know, how to enjoy your senses more. Now there's books like, you know, how just whatever you want, just desire it and you're going to get it, you know. Just picture the house you want, right? Picture the car you want, picture the wife you want, and you'll get it. By the law of desire, it may be true, but it may not be in this life. And not only the desire, but one has to have the karma, and but it might come. But Bhagavatam is saying you should want Krishna, you should picture Krishna, you should picture yourself like surrendering everything to Krishna, you know, being fully engaged in Krishna's service, associating with devotees. So this is interesting examples, but there's so many books, and every day there's so many more books coming, and now, of course, movies, television, there's just also, you know, originally books. Somebody writes a script, and then and it's all just sense gratification. So even though he was saying, you know, how to do your yajna and do it right, worship the demigods, and get, he said, this is no good. This is, you're misleading the people. So that's why you're not happy. Because you're giving them, this is what they want, and then you're giving them what they want instead of what Krishna wants. So but this has to be done. Vyasadeva's incarnation empowered for writing, because Krishna gives everybody, comes in the material world, he gives everybody whatever they want. So therefore we have all these places of pilgrimage for crows. I was walking on one beach and there was a pile of garbage and it was full of crows. So I took a picture just to show that it's true. There's a huge stinking pile of garbage and the crows are just everywhere covering the whole thing. And it's very happy. And they like to eat stool. So they're nasty birds. And the chandala is compared amongst birds compared to the crow. The Paramahansa is a perfect swan. The swan has a propensity also, and the lotus flower in the middle or something, there's some kind of milk, and the swan can stick its head down there, even underwater, and they can get out the nectar without getting the water. They can separate it. So that's what the Paramahansa can live in the material world, but take out the nectar, see Krishna everywhere, and not get entangled in the mode of nature, not get bewildered by it. That's why
Paramahansa, the guru, is called Paramahansa. So we never see the crows and swans like together. They say birds of a feather flock together. Actually, you never see different birds except when they put them in a cage or something. And you have all different kinds of birds. In nature, the same birds stay together. And people who are in a language group or by nationality generally like to stick together by skin color, by gotra, by tribe. Even they, like in Africa, to us, they all look the same, but to them, they're different tribes. They know. And they stick together. And they have their idea what's bad about the other tribes, what's good about their tribe. Different religions have that. In India, they call gotras, and they have that. You know, even within one particular language group, you know, there's different groups according to their occupation or their whatever, and they stick together, you know, they like each other, they work together. It's just natural. So animals do that also. They stay in their own groups, schools of fish, and birds of a feather flock together. You say that when you see people, the thieves like to associate with thieves, right? Drunkards like to associate with other drunkards. Drug addicts like to associate, and they make clubs.
you know, hunting clubs and golf clubs and tennis clubs and every, you know, that people like to get together. So devotees also like to get together with devotees. They like to associate, and devotees like the swans. They don't want to associate with the crows. They're gathered together everywhere looking, picking through the garbage, trying to find the, what the garbage they like. You know, the bookshops. Huge bookshops. Everywhere. You know, three tower or someone in Japan, tower book, you know, it's like sixth floor, full of comic books and, of course, the pornographic books, they have their own area. That's especially crows. So, but the Bhagavatam is different. That's what the next verse is. The books which glorify the Lord, which don't glorify the Lord, it's useless. So even a lot of the Vedas, they do glorify the Lord a little, somewhere, very nicely, but it's not the prominent thing, so most people don't know. Swami, Dhanana Shastra Vicharanaika Nipano Saddharma Samstapako Lokana Mitakarano Tribhuvane Vanyo Sharanyakaro. They studied all the Shastra with the aim of benefiting all the people of the world. So they actually, you know, had the ability to study all the different things and find, you know, where it confirms bhakti and Krishna as the Supreme Lord. And then they give us that in their books. Because otherwise we can't do it. Lord Brahma, he studied all the Vedas three times. He can do that. He has time. But even if we don't, they're not even available, but, you know, we don't have, in our short lifetime, we'd be lucky. Of course, Bala was telling me about one brahmachari in Russia that, how many years?
6 years.
6 years he's been a devotee, and he's read the Bhagavatam 8 times or so?
7 times. Bhagavatam Shantra Kavita and Bhagavad Gita, 7 times.
He's read all the Prabhupada's books 7 times. But he spends all day reading. And that's a big task, but to understand the Prabhupada's in one verse of the Bhagavatam, we should study for 1 month. Then we could understand it. Then he said to read the whole thing. He described how long it would take. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati actually, at Radhakund of all places, he lectured on the first canto, first verse for 1 month, every night. Because every verse is unlimited. But Prabhupada kind of gave us, a, you know, one verse a day. That's our Bhagavatam class. And, then, you know, we'll get through it in so many years. But the more we read, the better. So Brahma studied the whole Vedas 3 times. And then he concluded, Iti sodasakam nam nam Kali kama sanapanam Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That these 16 words, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This is the best way to counteract all the degraded evil influences of the Kali Yuga. That was Brahma's conclusion. That's in Sweta Svashara Upanishad. So we shouldn't think, well, I got to read all the Vedas first and then I'll decide. We should accept authority, you know, great authorities like Lord Brahma. Obviously, he knows them. And Lord Chaitanya also. Hari Nama, Hari Nama, Hari Nama, Kevalam. Kalona Sevana, Sevana, Seva Gatiranyata. There's no other way except the Holy Name. The Holy Name, the Holy Name. In Kali Yuga, 3 times. Kalona Sevana, Sevana, Seva. That means 3 things. There's generally Karma Yoga and Karma and Jnana and Siddha, you know. So by karma, good karma, by karma yoga, you're not going to get the topmost destination, which is Krishna Prema. Not by jnana, Krishna says bhakti mam abhijananti. Prabhupada said very strongly. He never said jnani mam abhijananti. Many people are attracted to jnana. They just want to know everything. You know, and they're very proud. I know something. You know, whether if it's mundane knowledge or scripture even. I know the whole Bhagavad Gita. I know this. I can recite so many slokas. If they're just proud like that, that they think knowledge is everything, they're not going to get Krishna prema. They might get some satisfaction, some, you know, prestige even, people admiring them, how much they know. But that's not the point. The point is to love Krishna, to know that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. Not just to know, you know, his words, but you have to understand, you know. Some people know, like Gandhi, for instance, he studied Bhagavad Gita, but he said that he didn't believe there was ever a person, Krishna. He didn't believe in Krishna, but he liked the Bhagavad Gita. So he didn't have bhakti. You know, he had some philosophy, understood something. Someone else, like that Brahmin in South India that Lord Chaitanya met, he was illiterate. He could read a little bit, I guess. So Lord Chaitanya saw him in the temple and he was trying to read Bhagavad Gita, but he couldn't pronounce it properly, couldn't read properly, you know. And people would laugh at him, the puffed up Brahmins, because you know South Indian Brahmins are very particular about perfect pronunciation of, right? You know, perfect pronunciation of the Sanskrit. And his pronunciation, you know, he was missing words and they, oh, ho, ho, and look at him. And then Lord Chaitanya saw him, but he saw he was weeping in ecstasy. And he asked him, oh, what are you reading? And at first he thought, it's another, then he saw Lord Chaitanya was actually compassionate. And he said, what are you reading? He said, well, my Guru Maharaj told me to read daily the whole Bhagavad Gita, but I don't really know how to read very good, but I try. And then Lord Chaitanya said, why is it that I see you're in ecstasy. This is genuine spiritual ecstasy. He said, how can that be? He said, because every time I look at the Bhagavad Gita, I remember in my mind, I see this picture of Krishna becoming the chariot driver of Arjuna, the Supreme Lord, you know, driving the chariot of his devotee and being a servant of his devotee. And I just feel so much ecstasy that I cry. And Lord Chaitanya picked him up and he was embracing him and said, you are the real knower of Bhagavad Gita. You really understand it. And Lord Chaitanya was staying there in South India for four months of Chaturmasya. And he kept that Brahman with him all the time, right with him. Because he understood Bhagavad Gita. He loved Krishna. He was impressed by Krishna as a person and his, you know, how he would serve his devotees. So that's what's required. Not, of course, it's good if there's bhakti, the Bhagavatam says, then jnana comes automatically. If there's jnana, it doesn't automatically produce bhakti. One has to be guided properly. The devotee is not going to be ignorant, he knows. Krishna devotees know, they can know, also have jnana. But they know the result, they know the real thing. And not by siddha, by yoga. You know, not by mystic power is one going to get love for Krishna. Generally, the person gets mystic power, he just gets puffed up, you know, and he, you know, thinking, I have so much power and I can do this and that. That's not desirable. Devotees, says a pure devotee has all the mystic powers, but he would never think of using them. He's not interested in those things. He'd leave it behind. Sanatana Goswami had that touchstone, you know, can just make gold. And he just left it in the garbage. He wasn't interested in gold. He's just chanting. You know that story, huh? Everybody know? You know? So. And everybody's after gold, you know, they want money. So, and the bookstore is full of books, how to get rich. Come to my seminar for $10,000 and 3 days and I'll teach you the secrets of getting rich. Anuruddha Prabhu was here once, right? He said when his father-in-law died, he was very poor. And one of his daughters had been supporting him, you know.
Anutama.
And so when they cleaned out his house, they found so many books, how to get rich. He'd been read so many, you know, every, how to get rich, didn't get rich. So all these people, they get rich. They get very rich. But not everybody that takes a course gets rich. Of course, maybe they don't follow exactly. But karma is involved. And they don't recognize that factor. Some people don't do anything and they get rich. You know, they go and buy one lottery ticket in their whole life and they win. They just say, yeah, you know, or they find it or something. And other people buy 100 lottery tickets every day and they don't win. In America, in one area, that many Indian people, they own the gas stations now. The gas stations, one of their main things, the gas is extra, but they sell the lottery tickets. And we were waiting, but the guy was so busy to talk to him. One guy pulled up and he came in, well, I was there maybe 1 hour, he came in like 4 or 5 times, bought a lottery ticket, went out to his car, and then 15 minutes later he'd come in again, buy another one. They said he comes every day like that. And then sometimes he wins, so he doesn't really lose so much, he doesn't win anything. But he just keeps trying. Because whenever somebody wins, it's really big, you know, it's news all over the world, and they tell him what store he bought it in, then everybody goes to that store to line up thinking it must be a lucky spot. But we want, you know, Krishna. And if you really want Krishna, you get Krishna. Material gain depends on your karma, depends on so many things. But spiritual gain doesn't depend on our karma, it just depends on our endeavor, our desire. That we actually, if we try to make spiritual advancement, then we'll get it. It all depends on the degree of our endeavor, our desire. It's not dependent on karma. Sometimes astrologers tell devotees, this happened a long time ago, a bunch of astrologers said, oh, you can never be a devotee. And they quit. They gave up, though, the astrologer said. The astrologer didn't understand it. He was trying to get them to become his disciples. Told them many crazy things. The Prabhupada wrote, you should never see these astrologers. He didn't mean all astrologers, but those particular ones. But it's dangerous because they mislead people. They think everything is based on your karma. But spiritual advancement is not based on karma, it's based on Krishna's mercy in our endeavor. We can't do anything perfectly for Krishna, but if we try, then Krishna takes, you know, mercy on us and gives us knowledge. That's what, you know, people say. Many people, when we try to give Bhagavad Gita, they say, well, I tried to read it, but I can't understand it. That's true, nobody can understand it because Krishna is unlimited. But Krishna, if you try, if you just read it, Krishna will reveal himself. That's what we want to know is, can't understand Krishna, you know, can't really understand anything. But we can, the idea is to know Krishna is the Supreme Lord and we should serve him. That's understanding Bhagavad Gita. So if one associates devotees, reads Bhagavad Gita and association devotees and just reads it, you know, everything will come clear. And it just gets, we can read it again and again and again. It just gets better and better. We may not be able to sit 8 hours a day and just read it, you know, through every year or something. Right? Through the whole. But according to the Bhagavad Mahatma, Lord Shiva says, if you read one chapter every day, then so much benefit. But even he said one verse, and he said even half a verse, and he said even one quarter of a verse. See, that means one line the way we have, you know. Even if you read that much every day, you can get unlimited benefit. because you're connecting with Krishna. So that's all we have to do, chant the holy name and try to serve Krishna in the association of devotees. So we make temple and we try to give people a chance, and devotees go out to give association of devotees to people. That's what everybody needs. They have so much association of sense gratification. They have so many books. Now the bookstore is all online, you know, you don't even have to go to the bookstore. Right? And you can, if you have a Kindle reader, right? You don't, or you can, the book comes right in there, you don't have to do it. You just push the button, I want it, and zap, it's there, you know, and then you can read. You can also get BBT books. That makes it worthwhile to have all this paraphernalia. Krishna's making facility to have, you know, the proper books available, but devotees have to go out and show them to people. You know, convince them that it's valuable. They don't know what's valuable. They never heard of the Bhagavad Gita until we tell them. Some people heard of it. They need to read it. They need association of devotees. So Narada came and helped Vyasa, and then by the mercy of Vyasa, now we have Srimad Bhagavatam, and by Prabhupada's mercy, we have it out of the Sanskrit into our language and with purport so that we can understand it. So we have to be thankful. We have to thank. That's why we chant all these prayers before speaking. Try to, you know, get the mercy of the parampara. We know that it's only by their mercy that we can exist even. But to speak, try to speak the glory. But anyone can speak the glories of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita. Any devotee. You don't have to be a scholar. All you have to do is know that I like it. Prabhupada told devotees that. Very beginning time, he was asking devotees, are you happy, you know, and they were all brand new devotees. They all said, of course, I'm very happy, I'm so glad I'm chanting. And he said, okay, I ask you one thing. He said, tell other people that you're happy. He said, you don't have to know anything. Just tell people, I really like chanting, I'm really happy that I'm chanting, I really like the Bhagavad Gita, it makes me feel happy. That's all, yeah, that's preaching. People want to be happy, you know. They'll do anything to think that if they think it'll make them happy. So that everybody's promising this will do it. You know. All you have to do is just work a little bit harder, get a little more money. But no matter how much you get, there's always something more up ahead. Like I said the other night, and we saw people lined up. They were camping out, I think, for 3 days in Tokyo to get the new iPhone. Of course, it was nice weather, but they do it in the winter either. Or to get into a concert, you know, camping out for 3 or 4 days to a football game or something. Travel all over the world and go to a football game. Or a different kind of prostitute. You know, whatever they think will give them pleasure. In Japan, they have tours, right? Like tour groups come here, Holy Land tours, and you go to the places of Jesus, and you go to Jerusalem, and you go to the Kinneret, and you go here and there. And in Japan, they have sex tours. You charter airplane, they go to Bangkok. People, that's their pilgrimage. You know. Everybody has their places. Some people, it's the Apple shop, it's the book shop. We go to Mayapur, we go to Vrindavan, you know, the holy places. We're fortunate. We found out about these places. And we can actually enter them by humility only, but by service. We're trying to, you know, go there to get purified so we get energy to come back and preach the holy name, to get power to give Krishna to everyone and invite other people. You should go there. Take your holiday. Come with us. Come to Mayapur. You know, then they'll get the real mercy. Otherwise, you know, they're advertising everywhere, all these places to go. I was just in Dubai. That's Emirates Airlines, you know. So they had a book on the table. It was this big and full of color pictures. It was called Choice. And inside the book had every tourist place in the world. Beautiful pictures and, you know, what to do there, which restaurant to eat at, which hotel to stay in, which, you know, which you should see. And, you know, people study that. It was this big, you know. So we have Srimad Bhagavatam to tell you about the spiritual world, tell you about Krishna. We have, you know, descriptions of Mayapur. We have movies of Mayapur. We have, you know, movies about the Ganga. And, you know, something worthwhile. So people can actually utilize their human life. That's what human life is, very, very, very rare and very valuable. We shouldn't waste it. Can utilize it. Chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we have a nice crowd here for morning program. In Tel Aviv we just have two or three people. Very good. Krishna is helping because everybody wants to increase. Thank you very much. All right, any question?
Right, so this verse describes either crow mentality or swan mentality, but there's also kind of mixed mentality.
Yeah, that's true.
So how to deal with that mixed?
Well, we're all mixed up, you know, and we're in the cleaning stage of our chanting, so. You know, we have this old mentality that we were conditioned, the crow mentality, dog mentality, pig mentality. And then we're being exposed to the swana mentality by association of devotees. So we're mixed up, but how do you, if you have an example propagate, say you have a bottle of ink, a glass full of ink, and you start pouring milk. So for a while you have mixed up. Eventually, if you just keep pouring milk, you'll have milk. All the ink will come out. So if we keep pouring in the nectar, the holy name and the Bhagavatam and the Krishna Katha, then we'll get gradually more and more of that mentality and get purified. Right? And we'll get a taste for the holy name. Kabe habe bolo sedi namar aparada guchi shudaname ruchi kripa bolo habe ridaye sanchar. When will that day be mine? Offenses ceasing, taste for the name increasing. When in my heart will your mercy shine? So by the mercy of Lord Nityananda and the devotees, we get purified. Sometimes we're like crows. We see the garbage and then somehow, no, don't do that. You know, Krishna will save us. If we're trying to chant every day, then Krishna will say, no, don't, no, that's garbage. Oh, but I thought it was nice. And we see Krishna and we think, what's that? Like Prabhupada said, if you give a pig halava, he doesn't want it. One time, I saw him say that. He said, the pig will go, oh. One time we were camped out and across, there was a fence in the, next to a farm and there were goats. So we threw a bunch of prasadam in there, halava and stuff. And the goat just didn't care for it. Then we threw a bunch of orange peels and things like that and the goat just... So different, you know, that Krishna's arranged it. You know, the nature, everybody takes care of what one person throws out, the next guy eats, and, you know, everything can be balanced. Now it's all screwed up. So if we associate with devotees, then look for devotees that have a swan-like nature and are trying to hear the holy name, then we'll get more purified and become shake off the crow mentality. There's a story about a crow and the swan in one of those, what's it called, those stories, for children. Not Chanakya. Anyway, they're like the fables, teach lessons. So the crow, they can fly far out, So the crow is the swan. They just go straight. So the crow is laughing at the swan and challenged the swan to a flying contest. So the swan said, "All right." So they started swimming out across the ocean, start flying. And the swan is just flying along, and the crow is doing all kinds of loops and spins. Look at you, you can't do this, And then they're getting further and further out, and the crow got really tired. But then he couldn't have enough power to go back. Then the swan had to carry him back. So that's the crow. They show off, that they can do all these far out things, but they can't get anywhere. So that's our condition. We're mixed up, So we have to be careful, associate with devotees here in regular sadhana, then that will protect us. Then the super soul will always protect us. No, don't do that. And we'll follow. All right. Any other questions?
You talked about distributing Bhagavad Gita?
Yeah.
But I usually don't try to distribute Bhagavad Gita, I distribute small books.
Yeah, it's all right. The small books are, like introductions to the Bhagavad Gita. But if we're going, we should always have a Bhagavad Gita, because you never know, somebody might want it. You don't have it, you don't have to show it first to everybody, because especially, people, it's big and heavy, and a lot of people go, but sometimes people, Bhagavad Gita, what's that? So if you find people interested, you should have, it'd be nice to have one so you can show them. And then gradually you might become more expert at presenting it. All books are good. Like one devotee, Anandakandubi, in Italy, he was always one of the top few book distributors in the world. And he always did Srimad Bhagavatam. And he would just distribute so many, and he would sell sets, amazing. And keep track of people, go back and give them more books. And then he got some kind of injury or something, where he couldn't walk, couldn't carry so many books. He couldn't carry the heavy books anymore. He started doing this medium books. But he said, I really like this, and so many more people get books. With the big book, it was, he sold a lot of books, but with the medium book, more and more people, so he liked that also. So both is good. Whatever is your propensity. We want to, more people get books. They read that book, they're going to read. It's going to tell about Bhagavad Gita so many times in the small book. All right. But it's always good to have it around, so that somebody, you never know, somebody might want it. Because people in Israel, they've heard of Bhagavad Gita, they know about it. When I went to L.A. last summer, I was distributing on one campus. And, some people were interested. And one boy, we say, you look really spiritual. They like that. What do you mean, how do you know?
Virgapati, he's the world's biggest book distributor many times. He said, well, I don't know, it's just something about you. You just have this vibe. You know, you have really good vibes. And it's true. Everybody's a soul. So, you know, it makes you start to realize more and more. So I said that one boy, and he just said, no, I'm just ordinary. I'm nobody. You know. And I said, okay. And I put the Gita in his hand, the small Gita. And he was just kind of like, I'm nobody. I'm just dull head, you know. And then he saw the Bhagavad Gita, and he said, where can I get this? I'm looking for this book. I said, well, I just happened to be passing him out. So it's interesting, you know. He was actually looking for Bhagavad Gita. Been looking, can't find it. But that, you know, many people like that. In Australia one time, a guy came out of a bookstore, and somebody, one of the devotees, you know, gave him the Gita. He said, wow, I was just in the bookstore. I was trying, I couldn't find the Bhagavad Gita. I was looking for it. So you never know, you know. But anyway, whatever you can do, you know, it's all right. As long as you're distributing the Prabhupada's books. Let people know about Bhagavad Gita. Hare Krishna. Any other? Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Everybody please join Harinam today. And we'll do what?
There is a program before the Harinam here.
Here?
Yeah.
Wow.
So it starts like...